today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Alaska Airlines announces four new destinations for the winter from Sacramento, including two in Mexico. Thinking of going to Barcelona soon? We need to talk about the now famous squirt gun attacks. Those stories next in the travel news.
Last week, we talked about fake online reviews. Now, this week in our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:22, we talk about how to use online hotel ratings and reviews to help you make your where-to-stay decision a smart one.
At 11:35, friend of the Travel Guys, Chris Elliott, gives us some observations on climate change from Switzerland, where change is more dramatic. What can we as travelers do?
Mark made a trip to the coast to Fort Bragg this past week with a group of sports leisure travelers. He'll share his thoughts on the old logging town turned tourist destination at 11:50.
Here to make you just a little smarter when you hit the road, welcome to the latest edition of the Travel Guys.
Well, for heaven's sakes, here we are back again. It's Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. At about 5 minutes after 11. I did that because, you see, almost six, because we're live, you know, back in the day when radio used to give you the time.
The time and the temperature all the time.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks for joining us, folks. Mark, let's see here. Before we get rolling, we talked to a little bit about Clayton Whitehead, your road reporter, if you will. And
Clayton has been over in Eastern Europe in a place that... countries that used to be part of the Soviet bloc, and who knows, with whoever gets elected in the fall, might be part of the Soviet bloc again. But for right now, they are independent countries, speaking of Lithuania, Estonia, and Latvia, which line up to the east of Poland there in Europe. And Clayton has been over there for the last week. He's over there, obviously, scouting around, looking for possible sports leisure vacations destinations. But I thought it would be fun to have him on, since even well-traveled people, many of them have not been to these countries because it's only been easy to go there for the last 15 years or so. So it would be, I think, fun to talk about places that most of us have never been and have no idea about. What are the people like? What is it like to visit there? So Clayton will join us next Saturday to talk about some Eastern European countries that, you know, might, once you listen to what he has to say, might or might not get onto your to-go list.
That'll be a lot of fun. Well, all right. It's back here in Rancho. The Capital Air Show kicks off tonight and tomorrow. Over years past, we used to have to do battle with our radio show being on the same day as the air show. This year it is, but it's an evening air show. It starts around 5, 6 o'clock in the afternoon, and I think that that could be a big hit.
I'm not a weatherman. Is the weather supposed to clear up this evening, or is it still?
Yeah, not a lot. We just heard the weather here just a few minutes ago before we started our program, and they expect partly cloudy most of the day. And I don't think, I'm kind of thinking that the clouds may not be low enough to obscure the show. I think they're going to be mostly high clouds. But then I'm not a weatherman. I only pretend to be one on the radio. So with that
is that what you said all of those years when you gave weather reports on KCRA and
mostly when I co-hosted shows like legal shows or doctor shows, or in this case a travel show. I'm not really a travel expert. I only play the friend of a travel expert on this radio show.
Well, and I'm not really a radio guy. I just happen to know a guy who's spent his whole life in radio. So that's why this all works, see, is because egos don't get in the way, because we both need each other to make this happen.
Yeah, and with that said, at the top of every Travel Guys radio program, we bring you up to date on the travel news. And with today's travel news, as always, once again, here's Mark.
Like it or not, here is the travel news. Hey, listen, this is the exciting news this week, is that Alaska Airlines has announced some new destinations from Sacramento. These are just winter destinations, so don't get too excited, but will greatly expand the international presence in Mexico. A flight to Puerto Vallarta will go every Saturday from January 11th until April the 19th, departs Sacramento at 10 a.m., and the return flight gets back at 6:46 in the evening. So that's a very sort of human time frame. 10 right. in the morning means you don't have to get out of bed until, you know, 6:30 or so.
And, much better.
As a man who has seen hundreds of groups off at 6 o'clock or now in the 5 o'clock hour of the morning, getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning has become my specialty. Wherever I end up after this life, you know, I'm hoping that there's no alarm clock that makes me get up at 2 in the morning. Cabo San Lucas is also on the list. That will be 5 times a week, except for Tuesday and Wednesday. That flight will also depart at 10 o'clock and arrive back here at 5:25. So Cabo and Puerto Vallarta will be available. Puerto Vallarta only 1 day a week, Cabo 5 days a week. Tucson, Arizona, we don't have nonstops on Tucson from Southwest, to Tucson from Southwest. Those daily flights will be from the first week of January until late April. They leave at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and the incoming flight gets in at 2:20, so it must leave Tucson around noon. And so there will be a daily flight to Tucson, which Southwest does not serve with a nonstop, so that adds a nonstop destination. And then Orlando, Florida, which is served in the wintertime by Southwest, will be picked up by Alaska Airlines 4 flights a week, Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday. Flights leave at 8:30 a.m. and get back into Sacramento at 9 p.m. at night. So that will give you an extra nonstop choice to Orlando and a first-time nonstop choice to Tucson. And Mexico service, which we've had from time to time here with different carriers. Southwest has had it before, so it's nice that folks, a lot of new choices, a lot of new service for our airport. Good news for travelers. Travel prices have dropped for the second consecutive months, according to the Consumer Price Index. The cost of travel goods and services dropped by 1.4% in June. Doesn't seem like a lot. But that's the way these things, they're cumulative over time. So what we're seeing, I think, is a leveling off of demand and people saying, you know, that hotel that I used to pay $189 for that you want $350 for, I think I'll just wait until it comes down a little bit. Or, you know, there's another hotel down the street that's not quite as fancy, but they only want $189. So I think I'm going to go stay there. And I think that's what's happening a lot is that some of these travel suppliers got so crazy with the demand post-COVID that they thought they could get almost any price, and frankly, they could. And now what we're seeing is that pricing is returning a little bit more to normal, seasonally adjusted and the like. So I think that it's traveling prices at least are going to be a little bit more predictable. Now, I think they're all going to go back to pre-COVID levels? Not a chance. That's not the way that economic things work. But if we could stop the increase, then we've built in increases for staff and different things like that. There shouldn't be a lot of pressure on prices for a while. At least we can hope. Listen, Taylor Swift's tours show why cities should invest in music. Her recent tours boosted local economies significantly, with her 2023 American dates adding $5 billion in economic impact across 20 cities.
Wow.
One person. Mm-hmm. And she's going to be in Miami soon, performing for 3 nights. And so Brightline, the train that runs from Orlando to Miami, is going to play Taylor Swift music on board those days for folks who are going to the concerts. So,
that's a brilliant idea. I mean, you know, I don't know about you. We'd take road trips to see bands, especially Huey Lewis and the News, wherever they played, and we would blare Huey Lewis and the News music out of the car radio the entire time. So, I think that's a smart move.
Yeah. It definitely will set the mood. So if you're not a Taylor Swift fan, it will be hard to avoid it anywhere in the Miami area. Listen, here's another story from our headlines. You have probably heard about this. It's been all over the place all week. It's kind of an interesting story. Barcelona, Spain residents who are upset by the city's mass welcoming of mass tourism numbers, about 2,800 of them, staged demonstrations over last weekend, blocking hotel entrances and spraying visitors dining outdoors with water pistols.
No,
I don't know if you saw any pictures of this on TV, but you're sitting having restaurant and food in an outdoor cafe. In fact, one of the restaurants was a Taco Bell, where people had taken their food outside, and all of a sudden you see them, you know, putting up their arms and stuff, and they're being hit with water pistols, basically. So it's a way for the people in Barcelona to make their point without hurting anyone. Specifically, Barcelona is a huge tourism destination. Tourists account for about 14% of the city's gross domestic product and about 150,000 jobs. That's what Barcelona's city council says. So if you are a resident of Barcelona and you're tired of the visitors, it's really, really, really fascinating to see some of the answers online for this whole situation. Somebody wrote, I live in New Orleans, which thrives on tourism. Yes, we've had issues with Airbnb, traffic, too many hotels. We also host the Sugar Bowl, Super Bowl, Mardi Gras, Jazz Fest, medical conventions, etc., etc., etc. All of the above keep many tour guides, musicians, and other service workers employed. To imagine locals squirting tourists with water pistols would be insane. You don't bite the hand that feeds you. Let's see here. There's some other interesting here. Interesting that nobody has referred to the squirting of water guns as criminal assault, which it is. These aren't protests. They're mass assaults. Are police standing back or taking action? Kind of an interesting take on things. I'm sympathetic to a population that hasn't had enough housing, but entirely unsympathetic to someone who attacks me with a weapon, no matter how childlike and harmless. Signs and marching can lead to change. Attacks with weapons should lead to charges. Here's another cute one. The rain in Spain stays mainly on the tourists. perhaps perhaps police and prosecutors in Barcelona have more serious concerns than some slightly wet tourists. The pickpocket situation is still out of control. The idea they will get water squirters rounded up and prosecuted for spraying a bit of water on tourists seems either unlikely or a questionable use of resources for the circumstances. There's a whole bunch of them here. Here's another one that I found kind of interesting. It's a one-liner. Says, that's definitely water in those pistols, right? I mean, it could be anything. I mean,
it could be, and hopefully it's not. You know, I mean, let's protest, but let's protest safely, if you will.
Here's one more. Maybe from Barcelona. Maybe it's over the top. And then in that video, I saw some of the tourists they squirted were at Taco Bell. If you go to Barcelona to eat Taco Bell, you deserve to be squirted on by a bunch of water guns. That was kind of thought that was kind of interesting. Anyway, yeah. We'll keep an eye on that, the whole Barcelona incident, and see what we can find. We've talked about Alaska Airlines and their new service. Here's an interesting thing from Alaska Airlines. An abusive pastor assaulted his wife. She got a first class upgrade. He didn't. He went up to first class. Now she's in a window seat. So he has to lean over another customer in order to, and he bonks her on the head pretty hard, apparently. So hard that an off-duty police officer who happened to be sitting a row ahead told the gentleman that if he didn't go down and didn't go back to his seat immediately, that he was going to be put into handcuffs. When the plane landed, indeed, that's exactly what happened. The flight was from Seattle to Anchorage. When they got to Anchorage, an FBI agent came onto the plane and met the guy along with local law enforcement, and he was arrested. So the moral to the story is don't mess with your wife on the airplane. The moral to the story is don't mess with anybody, period. Going around bonking people on the head is not a particularly great idea. But in this case, the story was served well. Listen, most popular domestic routes in the United States this summer, would you believe that one of the top 10 8 of them involve New York City. Chicago, well, Atlanta, Los Angeles, New York, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Dallas, and Charlotte. Everybody going to New York City for the summer. I'm guessing they're not going to Atlanta, Dallas, and Charlotte because it's a little warmer there. The only two that were not in the top 10 that were in the top 10 that didn't involve New York were Dallas to Los Angeles and Las Vegas to Los Angeles, which doesn't surprise me too much. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is your travel news for today.
And yes, we are the Travel Guys. You can check us out at travelguysradio.com. Links to our special guests and so much more can always be found there. Quick reminder, Rudy's Hideaway has their special for the entire month. I think you're going to like this one. This is one of those deals I've talked about. If you just can't decide, so you want to combine a couple of things. And it would be, in this particular case, it is... prime rib and scampi. You got a prime rib scampi special with all the fixings for $29.95.
Yum.
And as you say again?
Yum.
Yeah, yeah. You like the prime rib or the scampi?
Yes.
Well, I oftentimes have their scampi. Their scampis are really, really large, and they saute them in this butter, garlic, with capers.
If you don't stop it, you're going to have to do the rest of the program by yourself.
Anyway, check it out. It's going to go on all the way through the month of July. That's the prime rib and scampi for $29.95. And as always, Mark, what else do they have for $29.95?
What else do they have? The Travel Guys special for $29.95, which is, a 6-ounce lobster tail. Did I get it right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Plus, you know the other thing, Tom, about going to Rudy's? If you're listening to this program and you're getting up in years, Rudy's is a throwback to the old days. And if you're listening to this program and you're a younger person, Rudy's is a throwback to the older days. So it's a fun place to go because they kind of do things, their hospitality and the way that they serve their customers is a little bit old-fashioned and a little bit old-style. And no matter what your age, it's fun to either renew that or at least get a history lesson. So Rudy's is one of the best places in town to eat. And it's a Sacramento place.
It is. And, you know, if you go into the bar, which is very small, it's kind of like being at, where friends gather. Was that TV show that
Cheers.
Where the
Cheers?
It's kind of like Cheers. You can say hi to Laura behind the bar and get to know folks and meet the regulars. It's a fun place. If you haven't given it a try, do so while they're having their specials. Once again, Rudy's is just off of Highway 50 and Hazel. You can literally look for the lobster alongside the freeway. Okay, we got about 5 minutes here to make you a smarter traveler. Last week we beat up, if you will, fake online reviews. But this week we're going to spread some positive stuff, huh, Mark?
Yeah, flip the tables a little bit here. We talked about how to spot bad online and fake online reviews last week. This week let's talk about how to use real reviews to help you pick the right hotel for your needs. Using the same ratings that we use to avoid bad hotels, we're going to use to help us find good hotels. You want to skip the star ratings on the websites, except to ensure that you look at the good and the bad. Check out the bad ratings and find out what's behind them. Does a hotel have an ongoing concern, or are the complaints one-off that don't cause any specific alarm? You know, did somebody's room service just not get to their room until late? Was a light bulb burned out? Or do you see those kinds of things consistently over a long period of time, which tells you that the hotel has some service and maintenance issues? You can do your own searches on hotel websites, particularly chain websites like Marriott and Hilton, things like that. You can enter your own keywords like noise, location, temperatures, internet, construction. Why would you pick those? Well, for example, construction. If there's construction going on outside the hotel starting at 8:30 or 9 o'clock every morning because they're building a building next door, then that's probably going to show up in the ratings somewhere because that's probably impacted somebody. If you're leaving the hotel at 8 o'clock in the morning, it doesn't make any difference to you. Or if you're staying over a weekend, perhaps it won't impact you at all. But it's something to consider in your buying decision. Temperatures. Frequently people have trouble with in-room air conditioning units or heating units, so that's something that they complain about a lot. If the internet doesn't work at the hotel or doesn't work well, or the room where the public computer was to be available was locked down for 4 days while you were there, that's where that would show up. So those are all things also you're looking for. How does management respond to those things? Do they respond at all? Do they just ignore them like they weren't there, or do they come back and try to explain them? And when they do explain them, is it a explanation that you can see through immediately, or is it something that sounds like that somebody genuinely was concerned and is trying to do something to fix this? And then maybe do they come back a few days later and say, hey, we took care of this, you will not have this problem for the foreseeable future? Those are the things that you want to know with a hotel before you make your decision. You're also looking for things like, you know, if you want a view room and the hotel has view and non-view, be careful of the pricing, because undoubtedly the lead pricing are for the non-view rooms. And if you want a view room, you're going to have to most likely pay up. So remember, it's not the star ratings with hotels. It's the specific comments behind those ratings that are of the most interest to prospective guests. If you do your homework, your chances of ending up with a hotel that really has an issue with it are much, much less than they are. You're going to a convention. You're going to stay in the convention hotel for 5 nights, but there's 3 other hotels across the street. So check out the convention hotel and see, you know, is the reason they got a great rate because the hotel's a piece of garbage, you know, and the rates are great because that's the only way they can get people to stay there? And is there a Hilton Garden Inn or a Courtyard across the street, a mid-range property where all you have to do is walk across the street and walk in the door of the convention center? And you can save yourself a lot of money. In many cases, groups play off the convention center prices and stuff like that. For rentals, they play off against room blocks. So in some cases, you're helping to pay for other things when you're renting that hotel room. Anyway, the important bottom line to this is do your homework. Look in the hotel searches for use specific words and look for responses from people.
All right, great advice, smart stuff. Okay, my friends, we had Chris Elliott on last week, and at the time we had an opportunity to spend a little extra with him and talk about Switzerland, where he had just come from, and they have a real climate issue there, and it's eventually going to impact the entire world. Hey there, my friends. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the travel and entertainment guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for coming along, and it's time once again to hook up with our favorite consumer advocate and friend of the travel guys, travel expert, and so much more, Christopher Elliott, all the way from Berlin. Welcome to the Travel Guys, Chris.
Gentlemen, how are you doing?
We are doing well. It's warm here in California, to say the least. Chris, how is it where you are?
Oh, it's cold and rainy. Yeah, it's.
I hate to say we're jealous.
You
want to
trade?
Maybe, yeah. For 24 hours or so.
That would be cold.
Hey, Mr. World Traveler, you have spent a lot of time recently in Switzerland, which, dare I say, is probably on a lot of people's bucket list. And so, is there something, a few things you can share with us about Switzerland and how they have a pretty fragile environment there, a lot of tourists, especially the last couple of years. What's going on in Switzerland?
Oh yeah, it's been. I think that this is going to be a record year for visits to Switzerland. So there's a lot of people there, and I went all around the country. I lived in Zurich for 3 weeks, and then did a rail tour of Switzerland and met a lot of Americans. So there are people going there. But, you know, it's interesting you should mention global warming and climate change, and what's going on over there in California is also happening in Switzerland, where, you know, you go up in the mountains and all the glaciers have started melting and the process is accelerating. So they have all these sustainability efforts. They're trying to essentially stop the glaciers from melting, and they have all these recycling and green energy programs that they're doing.
Yeah.
And it's just fascinating to see. It's terrible. I think that over the last century, like 60% of the glaciers have melted. And if you look at some of the before and after pictures, it's pretty dramatic. In Grindelwald, the Aletsch Glacier, which is the big glacier, you see a picture of it in 1850, and it's just the whole valley. And now it's just up to the mountain, so it's almost all gone. So it's pretty dramatic. You can't stop a glacier from melting. But this is something that's on a lot of travelers' minds, is how can they be more sustainable? How can they be more environmentally friendly?
Mm-hmm.
Every time you get on a plane, obviously, you're kind of punching a hole in the ozone layer with the greenhouse gases that you're emitting. There's an understanding that there's no way they can stop it, but they're all trying to do their part. And so it's very interesting to watch. You know, in Switzerland, they're really trying to get people to move to mass transit. So they're discouraging people from driving their cars. And they have very, very ambitious recycling programs. I was in Zurich, and they have like 4 different trash cans that you sort your trash into. And if you don't, they have the trash police that come by. Now, I was living in an apartment, and if you throw your trash in the wrong bag, they will actually randomly go through the trash to make sure that you sorted it correctly. And if they don't, they will fine you. And I'm sure that you're wondering, how do they know it's you? They will go and see you throw mail away. They will find you like that. So they will read your thrown away envelopes, and then they'll give you a fine.
Some people would probably be a little bit alarmed about some of what you just said, but I would say what these people are doing is they're showing that they're really serious about this. This is not for play or for fun. This is about our future, and this is our best solution for right now and how we're handling it. And my guess is that the Swiss people are buying into it.
They are. Now, the problem, of course, is that across the border, you have all these coal-burning plants and people, lighting trash fires and, emitting carbon dioxide. And so the only way that you could really fix a situation like this is if everyone does it. So as long as you have, countries like China opening up, I think it's two or three new coal-burning power plants every week. I read that somewhere. The Swiss are going to be just a drop in the bucket. But if everyone participates, and I think we're getting to that point, then and tourism is one of the drivers of that, which is so fascinating. Is like hotels have really taken a lead in trying to become more sustainable. So I think that in coming years we're going to hear much more about sustainability. It's a fascinating topic.
I think, Chris, you have to. I think it helps for people to experience it. Dare I say, in California, we're going through what probably is going to turn out to be a completely unprecedented historical heat wave. Record temperatures are falling by 3 or 4 degrees, and California, traditionally, much of California is hot in the summertime. We're used to breaking 100 degrees here in Sacramento. We're not used to 110 with any kind of regularity at all. That might happen once or twice in the summer. And we're looking at an entire week of it. The reason I mention that is because my thought is that if you ask people in California in 2 weeks what they think about global warming, the survey results are going to be a little different than they would have been a month ago, because people are going to say, "Wow, this has never happened before," and there's going to be a lot. The state is burning. I mean, there's going to be a lot of this never happened before in the future. And when you talk about tourism, California is a tourism mecca. I mean, people come from all over the world to experience different parts of California. We're incredibly lucky here to have so much diversity, but a lot of our economy spins around tourism and the money that people spend here. And of course, Californians spend a lot of money on their own. So the sustainability or the lack of sustainability of tourism is may not be a big issue, but it's going to be a big issue.
I
could not agree with you more.
We spent time last week on this program, Chris, talking to people about doing their homework when they travel. And one of them is check the weather forecast. Look at the history of the area that you're going to travel so that you can be prepared, as to what to expect temperature-wise. It may not be suited for you. And with the way things are going, that is going to be a travel tip that's going to follow people around, whether it's too cold or too hot, certainly too hot. California, I mean, the reason that everything costs so much here is because it's supposed to be the absolutely perfect place to live weather-wise, and that's starting to shift.
Chris, what do we do what do you have a couple of ideas top of mind that those of us who travel, I mean, that we could do every day or once in a while or when we go to certain places or best practices? What are your thoughts?
I mean, most of your listeners know me as the consumer advocate who fixes problems, but what you don't know is that for the last 6 or 7 months or so, I've been working on several series of stories about sustainability in tourism. So I started with a story or two on sustainable cruising and then went through Central America and South America and the Caribbean writing about sustainability initiatives. And one of the things that I think really struck me, even when I was in Switzerland, was how little people cared. So when you sit down and talk to a hotel general manager or a tourism official, inevitably you get to the point where you say, so talk a little bit about the demand for sustainability in tourism. And what they will tell you is that, well, you know, sometimes you get people who are meeting planners or convention planners who have as part of their checklist whether or not the hotel or the destination is sustainable, but the visitors don't really ask about it. Now, the exception is the Swiss people. What they told me was that Swiss people will ask if a destination has a sustainability initiative, but the Americans just don't care. What they want is beautiful scenery, a good price, good food, but they really don't care about sustainability. So the first thing I would say is you should start asking questions. Ask if a place has a sustainability initiative and find out if it is actually a legit thing or if it's just a marketing gimmick. I mean, what's a marketing gimmick? For example, saying that you have a green energy initiative and then not really having anything to back it up with. And a lot of hotels will say that they're sustainable, but really won't have much of a program at all. One of my favorite kind of bogus things is that they'll say, oh, well, we have like a farm to table program. Okay, so they got a little garden in the back where they're growing tomatoes. That doesn't really quite cut it. So really, you know, do your homework. But the first thing I would say, the most important thing is ask about it. Because the more people ask about it, the more these destinations will think, hey, maybe we need to be a little bit more sustainable. We need to put some of these things into practice that we've maybe just been talking about theoretically for the last couple of years.
Chris, are there a couple of websites maybe that people could visit to learn a little bit more about this?
Well, I mean, my series is on Forbes, so you could always look for it there. And, you know, shameless plug here, but my website, elliott.org, if you go there to LCTs, you will find a subscription button to my newsletter. And I'm actually publishing a series of stories about sustainability. So I've got my last part of my sustainability series in Switzerland publishes on Saturday. And then I have a story on sustainability in the Olympics. And then I'm doing a couple of stories about sustainability in Germany. So I'll be here for a whole month researching that. And hopefully that will give you a much better idea of kind of what's out there and what to look for.
Okay. Well, we'll stay on this, and we'll try to give you a little bit of a megaphone here to at least spread it to the folks of the greater Sacramento Valley. This may not be an issue to American travelers now, but I'm going to suggest to you that it is just around the corner. Thanks for some of your expertise today, Chris. Travel safely. Chris Elliott, consumer advocate and sustainability tourism expert, right here on the Travel Guys. Sustainability is going to be a lot more important to tourists as we head down this path and down this road. The countries that have jumped in first, I think, are going to be much more in demand than places that haven't made any response. Anyway, nice of Chris to give us an extended interview last week so we could talk about a variety of topics, because I think the sustainability one is one that's really going to impact tourism over the next generation. And so it's time to we've started doing some things about it in some places, and we've made some progress. The people in Switzerland have made some progress, but if their neighbors around them don't join in, why then it might end up being a lost cause.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Always nice to have Chris Elliott. I mean, a lot of times you'll listen to Chris and say, well, I'm traveling the world and putting this together and so on and so forth. And you're going, gosh, what a must be a wonderful job to be able to travel and work. But he goes to a lot of work. And traveling extensively as he does, as you know, Mark, is sometimes cannot be an easy thing.
Well, he's been on the road now for a couple of years at least. He still has one of his sons traveling with him, who has just completed college, I think, on the road, which must be just a tremendous challenge. But what a great opportunity, though, to be able to go to school, travel with your dad to all of these cool places. Dad knows a lot of people, so you get exposed to situations you wouldn't otherwise. What a great opportunity to file all that knowledge when you're growing up and be able to use it later down the line. All right.
Anyway, we promised we were going to talk about Mark's trip up to Fort Bragg. Mark, you've been there quite a bit over the many years. Of course, things have changed a little bit along the way. Tell us about it.
I had, but it's been almost a decade since the Skunk Train, which is Fort Bragg's main attraction. It's a train that runs from Fort Bragg to Willits. Used to be an old logging railroad, has become a passenger tourist railroad over the years, and they had a tunnel go down about a decade ago, and that prevented, and the cost of repairing the tunnel is ridiculous, so they're able to run the train from Willits out to the midpoint and back at in Fort Bragg. They just run it a few miles out of town to a place called Pudding Creek and back. So that's the main attraction in town, and we'll talk a little bit about that later on. But I had not taken a group up there since before the tunnel fell. And it's really interesting. Fort Bragg has changed its personality, and it's kind of fun to watch it because it's still a work in progress. For many years, it was the only coastal town that really wasn't a coastal town. It was a logging town. The people who lived there worked for Georgia Pacific, and they had the things that they needed in town to do business on a day-to-day basis. But it wasn't really a tourist community except for this train that ran every day. And there was a thing on Wednesday night called the Footlighters Melodrama that tour companies like me tended to feed into. And there would be a couple hundred people there, most of them from out of town, who were getting on the train the next morning or who had gotten off the train that afternoon. And our advantage was we could ride the train one way and have our motor coach meet us on the other end, so we didn't have to go both ways. That road to between Willits and Fort Bragg is one that you want to allow yourself plenty of time on. It's a very windy road, and the last two-thirds of it are kind of scenic. So you have to be careful that you don't get caught looking out the road, out the window, when one of those 15-mile-an-hour curves comes up. But I found Fort Bragg just to be a fascinating place. Have you been there, Tom?
I have two or three times. I never gone and done the train thing, but it's been many, many years. I think the last time I was there was probably 20 years ago.
It's so isolated on the coast because the only way to get there from 101 is to take Highway 20, which it's 30 miles and it takes an hour, and or to come up Highway 1, which is kind of a similar situation, windy and up and down and the like. So Fort Bragg is a little bit isolated there. It's not a particularly large town, but it's really interesting because it has changed from a lumber town and a logging town to a tourist town. And that's still, that process is still taking place. For example, in one block on the main drag, there is Mendocino Chocolate Company. Across the street is Mendocino Cookie, if you're looking for treats. The Marine Science Center, Noyos Marine Science Center, one of the offices is there on the same block. There is a bakery, but not a traditional bakery, a more non-traditional bakery, a bakery that creates edible products that have marijuana in them. So these, of course, have been not only just for people who want to get stoned, but have also been helpful for people who have medical issues and don't want to smoke to inhale the stuff. So it helps. And it's a really upscale, nice place with a beautiful storefront and everything. Just right next door to it is the tattoo parlor, which is upstairs. And I went up and met the lady there. And boy, she was just an absolute hoot. And so
let me see your tattoo. What'd you get?
Not me. So anyways, in this one block, tattoos, edibles, chocolate, Mendocino cookies, which, you know, after you eat the original edibles, you're going to need the chocolate and the cookies, and then the Marine Science Center. So I thought, I went back to my people after they came out of the Science Center. I said, I think next year when we come up here, we're going to do all these places. What do you think of that idea? And they were 100% in favor of it. Because, see, of course, people who have never been in a dispensary before, right, have a curiosity as to what it's like inside.
Sure.
And
sure,
educating people to the fact that there might be something in there, if they have chronic arthritis or something like that, there might be a little something they can get there that won't be as intrusive or interact with other drugs, like some of the things they have to take, if they have a hard time with their appetite or something like that. So there are good uses for this. We're not just talking about, you know, blowing smoke up people's rear ends here. There are good uses for it. And it's just really interesting to see. Across the street and down half a block is the Skunk Train, which is still running, like I said, on a kind of an abbreviated schedule. I was a little disappointed in the Skunk Train. They charge $50 for an hour and a half experience, of which only about half of it is the train moving. The other half is a break at their halfway point. where they have games set up for kids and a few games for adults, simple things that can survive in all weather. In the evenings, they take some nights on the weekends, they take a trip out there and they have a bar and music and the like. So, but it was $50. And I just sort of kind of felt like, we'll wait and see how the Sports Leisure Travelers rated in their reviews before I pass judgment. But I thought that was, it was interesting. It was okay.
Is it different than what it used to be like?
Well, it only goes out of town a couple of miles to a place called Pudding Creek and turns around and comes back because that's where the cave-in happened in the tunnel and blocked the tunnel.
So previously you had a much longer a rail trip.
Yes. You could go halfway to Willits, which actually was two-thirds of the way. You could go to Willits, go to the midpoint and go back to Fort Bragg or go out of Willits and go back if you had a car. We had a motor coach with us, so we could go one way, and the coach could meet us on the other end. Some other things in Fort Bragg that you might want to take a look at. MacArthur State Park is really a cool place. There are sandy beaches, all sorts of great places to look at there. We stayed at the Harbor Light Lodge, which is an older property but very reasonably priced. Great views of Noyo Harbor. And we ate at the Noyo River Inn. I think you remember the gentleman, Scott, was on the program
sure.
with us. We went
How
down
was
there
it?
For breakfast and dinner. The food was terrific. I mean, just amazing, over the top. The dinners and even the breakfast, you know, it's hard to be distinguished at breakfast, but he did a great job with all of that stuff. So if you're looking for a place to get out of the heat and get away where the hotel prices have not exploded to $400 a night, it's called Fort Bragg. It's about 4 hours from here, and it's hard to get to, so not everybody goes.
I hope you heard that, folks. Mark's whispering so that everybody won't know that Fort Bragg is the place to go.
Yeah, we don't want everybody to know. Hey, listen, before we get off the air here, I wanted to talk for a minute about, this is kind of cute, folks who go on, you know, honeymoons traditionally have been after the wedding.
Right. Yeah.
You know, then either you leave from the wedding site or the next morning or something like that, off you go to an exotic place on a honeymoon. Two things are happening, U.S. Travel is reporting, that have to do with honeymoons. There's a rise in what's called buddy moons. Some newlywed couples are inviting their friends and families to join them on their honeymoon, a growing trend known as buddy moons that enables travelers to get a better rate where they're going. So it reduces the cost of the honeymoon.
Sure.
For the honeymooners. Also, another idea that's come up here is called early moons, aimed to reduce stress and boost savings. Couples are increasingly planning more affordable early moons prior to their wedding to reduce planning stress and give them time to save for more ambitious travel later on. The idea is to relax, unwind, and be really checked in with each other ahead of the wedding. What a couple of interesting, I just thought, those were fascinating ideas, along with people who are taking sleepcations now just to get away to really nice hotels for a couple of 3 days and living in the hotel, getting a luxurious room and eating in a nice restaurant and walking around a couple blocks and just getting a break. So vacations are taking on a new light.
Well, as they should. People are getting creative, to say the least. Okay, next week, Clayton Whitehead will join us from a couple of places that you might want to put on your bucket list, huh, Mark?
Yeah, Estonia, Lithuania, Latvia.
There you go. Well, it's a wrap. Final word, Mark.
Final word, dance like nobody's watching, and we'll see you next Saturday at 11 o'clock.